Good morning and welcome to our podcast. My name is David Pritchard and I'm the head of marketing here at Sintons. I'm joined today by my colleague, Victoria Armstrong, who is a healthcare partner who specializes in commercial real estate matters here at Sintons. And our podcast today is the third in our series of Top Tips for Dentists podcast series. And today, Victoria is going to talk about selling your dental practice from a real estate point of view. So any further ado, straight over to Victoria. Victoria, good morning and over to you.
Good morning. Thanks, David. As David said, I'm a partner in the commercial real estate team and I've specialised in NHS healthcare for over 14 years now. A large part of my work involves advising on the property aspects of dental transactions alongside Karen and the wider dental team. As the third in our series on selling your dental practice, I'm going to set out some property top tips for sale, which will help ensure that a transaction runs smoothly and avoids any undue delays. I've got quite a lot to cover, so I'll get straight into them. Our first top tip would be to involve your property lawyers in the sale at an early stage. Your lawyers will need to identify the premises to be included in the sale, review the legal title to those premises, and begin assembling the property-related due diligence information for the buyer. This will all need to be reviewed carefully to identify any problems before it's provided to the buyer. And by involving us early, we can get this process underway while the sale agreement's being prepared. This would form the basis of our property due diligence, and it's critical to get this underway early in order to avoid delays to the overall transaction. And as both Fiona and Karen explained in their podcasts, due diligence is the exercise carried out by a buyer before the acquisition to inform itself about the business that it intends to acquire. The aim of due diligence is to identify risks, potential problems, liabilities that the buyer may acquire alongside the assets. And once those matters have been identified, it's then up to the parties to negotiate who will bear the various risks and liabilities and to include drafting in the business sale agreement to reflect that allocation. By involving us at an early stage, we can ensure that we have plenty of time to discuss any issues with you fully and deal with resolving those before presenting them to the buyer. That will enable us to provide suggested solutions to the buyer and consider any drafting that may be then required by the buyer, almost like hitting the ground running. Top tip two, collate your property information early. The due diligence process can delay a transaction if key information isn't available for submission to the buyer. You should ideally start gathering information as soon as you accept an offer for your practice, or actually probably better before. We can provide you with a list of information and documents that you need in every transaction, be it a sale of the freehold, new lease, or assignment of an existing lease, but you need to allocate plenty of time to do this. We find that there are generally a few main areas of concern with the premises that will cause real problems in terms of timescales in any transaction. And that kind of leads me on to my next three top tips. Top tip three, asbestos management. One of the most common issues that we encounter in property due diligence is the lack of up-to-date asbestos reports relating to the premises. The Control of Asbestos Regulations 2012 impose a duty to manage asbestos risk in commercial premises, and a failure to comply with those regulations is a criminal offence. These regulations impose an obligation to determine whether asbestos is present in the building or is likely to be present, and to manage any asbestos that is present or is likely to be present. In practice, that will require a thorough inspection of the premises by a suitably qualified surveyor in order to determine whether there is asbestos present, to assess the risk of any asbestos present, and to advise on an action plan and system for managing that risk. The duties will apply to a freehold owner and to a tenant where the property is leased. And that's on the basis that a tenant will usually have repairing obligations in respect of the premises in the lease. Where any measures are required to be implemented as part of that management plan, it's important that you do have those implemented and that you record all actions taken to implement. The buyer will be keen to see that an asbestos management plan is in place, because they will become liable for compliance with the regulations from the date of completion. There is no preparation period permitted under the regulations for the buyer. Where a seller doesn't already have an up-to-date asbestos plan in place, it's recommended that this is undertaken immediately. This will ensure the seller is no longer in breach of its statutory duty to manage any risk present, and it will allow time, the time that it takes for the survey to be carried out and the plan produced. It also provides time for any implementation of measures required, whether that's managing asbestos present or potentially removal of asbestos from the premises. Where the buyer is obtaining bank funding for the purchase, their lender will almost certainly require an up-to-date asbestos survey to be in place before completion. And we don't want to leave this until the last minute in a transaction, as this is definitely something that will cause delays. And ultimately, it will be more costly to deal with these issues under the pressure of time. Top tip four, this relates to EPCs, energy performance certificates, and it's probably the most common issue that we encounter in property due diligence. A lack of energy performance certificate, or EPC for short, in respect of the premises forming part of the deal. An EPC shows information about the energy efficiency of a building, and it's issued by an accredited energy performance assessor. The EPC will provide an asset rating for the property on a sliding scale from A being the most efficient down to G being the least efficient. And all prospective sellers are required to commission an EPC before putting a property on the market. That duty arises out of the EPC regulations 2012. And a seller will also be under a duty to provide an EPC to a prospective buyer. Penalties for failing to comply. There could be a fine of up to 12.5% of the rateable value of the building, and there's a minimum set at £500. Generally, a buyer will want to see a valid EPC in place for the premises, and that should be no more than 10 years old. And any lender will want to see a valid EPC with a rating of at least E. Just by way of a bit of background, as of 2018, it's also been illegal to grant a lease of a property with a rating falling below E. The EPC will be accompanied by a recommendation report, and that will set out that any works that should be undertaken to improve the energy efficiency and asset rating of the property. Where the asset rating falls below E, the buyer and their lender would expect the seller to undertake the recommended works to improve that rating before completion. So where you don't already have an EPC in place for the surgery, we'd recommend that you have this undertaken immediately. That can avoid any delays, costs, and ultimately unnecessary inquiries from the buyer further down the line in the transaction. Top tip five, fire risk assessments. Alongside EPCs, we also all too often come across sellers who don't have an up-to-date fire risk assessment in place for the premises that they're looking to sell or lease as part of the dental sale. It's a requirement of the Regulatory Reform Fire Safety Order 2005 that you do carry out a fire risk assessment of the premises and keep that under review. That will involve reviewing firefighting and detection equipment at the premises, emergency escape routes, provision of information and training for staff, assessing additional risks of any substances at the property, which is pertinent to a dental surgery, and steps must be taken to reduce or eliminate any risks that are highlighted there, and you must keep a record of that assessment. Often the assessment is carried out by someone with the requisite level of training within the practice, but in most cases, the services of an external consultant are used for this. There's no period of grace under the regulations for the buyer in relation to these duties, and so a buyer will want to see an up-to-date fire risk assessment in place at the time of completion. We recommend that you plan ahead. Undertake this assessment at the outset of the transaction. If any works are recommended as part of that assessment, the buyer will expect you to have undertaken those before completion. And undertaking an assessment early will avoid any delays later in the transaction relating to any works that may be needed as a result of that. Finally, top tip six relates to leasehold premises. Where the surgery premises is occupied by the seller under a lease, the lease will need to be assigned to the buyer at completion. In most cases, this will require the consent of the landlord. It's advisable to involve the landlord early in the transaction, as additional time may be needed to deal with any requirements that they may have in relation to the assignment and also in relation to the buyer itself. It's likely that the landlord will require the seller to pay its legal costs in relation to the grant of consent to an assignment, and it's best to get an estimate of those at the outset to assist you with budgeting. With any application for landlord's consent, sufficient information, including financial details about the buyer, will need to be provided to the landlord to allow it to reach a decision as to consent. A landlord would generally want basic information about the buyer, such as accounts, bank references, landlord's references, and they should be lined up in advance so that the relevant information is ready for when we approach the landlord. Generally, landlords like to see 3 years' worth of accounts that show profits after tax of at least 3 times the rent. If the accounts don't show this for the buyer, then a landlord is likely to ask for additional security by way of guarantees or maybe a rent deposit. If the buyer is a newly incorporated vehicle, a landlord's unlikely to grant consent without additional security, and that could be a parent company guarantee, rent deposit, or maybe a bank guarantee. It's worth mentioning here that the need for landlord's consent to lease assignments applies only to an asset sale. In a share sale, the buyer buys the tenant company and the premises don't move. They're not transferred anywhere. Unless the lease includes provisions restricting the change of control of the tenant, there'll be no deal in requiring landlord's consent there. Where the premises are leasehold, generally the buyer will raise additional inquiries in relation to the lease arrangements. It'll want to know that all rent reviews due to date have been undertaken. There's no arrears of rent, no breaches of tenant covenants in the lease. They'll want copies of any service charge statements, and they'll also want copies of any insurance policies put in place by the landlord in respect of the premises. It would be useful for you to obtain that information upfront at the outset of a transaction if you do not already have it. We find it often takes some time to obtain that information from a landlord, and it can ultimately lead to unnecessary delays. In addition to this, most lenders will only lend on the basis of a lease of more than 10 years. So if the remaining term of the lease in place falls short of this, it's likely that a lender for the buyer will require that you agree an extension or maybe a new lease even with the landlord before completion. We would need to factor in time and also additional cost of dealing with that. It's better to get that process underway at an early point in any transaction, just to be on the safe side. Essentially, having a third-party landlord involved in the transaction can cause delays, so you need to factor this into the overall timescale. So in summary, my top tips for avoiding delays to a transaction by managing the property elements efficiently are: get us involved early in the deal. We can provide invaluable guidance from an early stage to ensure the transaction runs smoothly. Collate your information thoroughly at the outset. This will enable us to identify and deal with any issues efficiently. Check that you have an asbestos management plan in place and arrange to have that undertaken if you do not. You will fall foul of the control of asbestos regulations if you do not do this, and it will cause problems for the sale further down the line. Ensure that you have a valid EPC in place and arrange the same where that is outstanding. Ensure your fire risk assessment is sufficient and up to date. Again, this will regulate your position in terms of your duties under the regulations, and it will also minimise any issues with the buyer. Where you have a lease of the premises, review the terms of your lease to ensure assignment is permitted and that there's sufficient time left remaining on the term, and also collate as much information as you can in relation to the lease arrangements so that we can provide them to the buyer without delay. So that's it from me today. I'll pass you back to David, who will deal with our contact details.
Thanks, Victoria. Very useful, very in-depth. Appreciate that. It was a good listen. Very quickly for me, as Victoria says, we release webinars, podcasts and blogs on a regular basis, all of which can be found on our website, www.sintons.co.uk, should you wish to take a look. And that also includes episodes 1 and 2 of this podcast series. You can also follow the healthcare team on Twitter at SintonsHC. So if you'd like to discuss anything Victoria's raised today further, please don't hesitate to get in touch with her. She can be contacted by telephone 0191 226 7878 or via email victoria.armstrong@sintons.co.uk. Just want to quickly say we've been absolutely blown away by the amount of listens this podcast series is getting, and also the feedback that we've had, and also the questions that you've been asking us that we will try and deal in future podcasts. Our next podcast will be with you in approximately 2 weeks' time. Once again, thank you for tuning in. We don't take it for granted. We genuinely appreciate it. Thank you and stay safe, everyone.